Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, guess what? Good stuff is yet to come. I have the honor of introducing to you, or I don't know, you all know him and love him, J.C. Balestas. He's going to share the word with us this morning.
Praise God. Wow. I mean, God is everywhere. We know that. But let me tell you, his presence is not. So you got to come to places like this. I mean, God's presence was just all over the place. I want to say that again. That's why, you know, God is everywhere. But there's some places that when you go in and some questionable places, questionable, God is not there. Only to say, hey, Lord, I need you. And then he'll, you know, salvation. But his presence is not there. It's in here. So that's why we need to come to the house of the Lord, you know, and just in harmony, and so you can experience this. Amazing. I'm going to borrow Pastor Tom's favorite word. It was amazing. Amazing, yeah. So I want to pray really quick. And then I have in my hand the Word of God, the Bible. Everything we know about God, everything, every books that have been written, you know, every message, everything comes from here, from the Word of God. This is what we know. If the Lord tarries 200 years, you know, we'll be with the Lord, we'll be gone. The next generations will know about God because of what's written here. So I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to be here today, Lord, and bring your word, Lord. I humble myself in front of your presence, Lord, and I ask that you please allow me, allow the Holy Spirit to deliver, Lord, what you taught me, what you spoke to my heart, what you changed in me, Lord, and this in the word, Lord, that I'm going to bring today, Lord. Allow me to echo the same thing, Lord, to your people, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Before I get to the scripture, I'm in a bind. A couple weeks ago, I turned 60. Yeah, 60. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know. I know first time I'm 60, so I don't know what to do. You know, I was good at 59, great. 55. I remember when I was 40. I remember when I was 20. Well, that was, you know, dumb and stupid. But, you know, that's beside the point. You know, but I'm 60. I don't know what to do. So, you know, I'm learning all over again. So we went to Thanksgiving to Tennessee. My wife's family is from Chattanooga, right outside Chattanooga area. So we drove 8-hour drive. And then my daughter says, Daddy, 60, that's a milestone. We got to celebrate. We got to do something. And so They worked something out in the family, my sons, and so they took me out to this nice fancy restaurant. Never been there before. I never will after this. But it was amazing. It was one of those places that is like, I mean, like Michelin star rating, that type of thing. Oh yeah, and then they brought in the food was just, you know, it's just incredible. They bring in your little portions and then they build it up and. And wow, I was like, wow. And then here's my point. And the waiter, I mean, it's all an experience. I mean, amazing guy. He came in and he talked to you and he'll spend the time. And he's there for you, okay? And he says something, and the food was just delicious. I mean, and he says something. He says, well, everything is fresh. The salad was literally, you know, picked this morning. It's not like it's delivered by one of these companies that deliver food. No, they got a guy there that literally goes out into the local market and picks in the morning. And whatever they have available, that's what's going to have on the menu. So the menu changes every day depending on what they have. And they try to use local farmers and everything. And they say everything is fresh. And it's like, wow. And then it just so happened that, you know, the Lord has been speaking to, you know, my heart when Pastor T- Tom told me, hey, you know, this day, you know, can you bring the word? And God has just been speaking to me. And I'm going to have the title come up, please, for my, it's, you know, God has been speaking to me. It's, you know, keeping it fresh. And then it allowed me to have this experience. And I'm like, I never tasted food that way. I never knew you can elevate a salad to it was. I was like, wow, what a salad. And I'm not a veggie guy. I mean, it was just fresh. So I want to use that as my theme, keeping it fresh. How do we keep it fresh in our lives? I'm 60 now. How do I keep it fresh at 60? Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're a student, and maybe you just started your marriage. Maybe you are raising a family. Maybe you're an empty nester. I'm going to hit everyone here today. So how do we keep it fresh? And I'm going to go into a scripture that is often taken out of context. It is a powerful scripture that it just so happened that it was today. That's been the theme. And Dana, you brought it in. And then today in prayer, they was talking about it. And then I'm going to bring it in. And it starts, and it's kind of long. I'm going to read these verses, but I need to so it can make sense. And then I'm going to go ahead and give the background so I can give the context of this text. Very important. So I'm going to go in, and we all have known this scripture, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We're going to go from verse 11 to 22. Okay, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We're all familiar with it, but it's often taken out of context. So I'm going to go in and says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself. It says, and as a temple for sacrifices, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and I consecrated, I have separated for this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there, the temple. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe all my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as a covenant with David, your father. When I said you should never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. But if you turn away, woe, and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and go off and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from the land, from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword, an object of ridicule among all people. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping them and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. Wow. That's what we call TNT. That's dynamite. I think, where's Deacon? Probably use, yeah, that's dynamite there. That's a dynamite word. But, you know, most people don't know that actually all those words were foretold by Solomon. If we go in chapter 6, by the way, you know, chapter 6, and allow me to just set this in so we can understand it. In chapter 6 is where Solomon goes in, and then finally the Lord gives the green light for them to assemble the whole team and allow Solomon to start building the temple. The idea started with David, and that they wanted to have a temple, but David, you know, the Lord says, not for you. You know, you have a great thought, but no, that is going to be given to your son. And so he started gathering, and then it goes and explains everything that they did, you know, massive preparation. And then it says that the dedication lasted 7 days. The dedication alone, 7 days. They sacrificed 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. It's in the dedication. It's wow. You know, 7 days of dedication, and then the festival was another 7 days. 14 days, imagine. And this is where he comes in, and the dedication, Solomon, goes in, and it says, "Now, Lord, God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said you should never fail to have a man to sit before the throne of Israel. If only your son are careful in all they do and walk before according to my laws as you have done." So basically, everything we just read on chapter 7 is the Lord is summarizing, because in this prayer that Solomon did, basically, he gave all the provisions. He said, "Lord, when crime and injustice happens to me, you know, and when crime and injustice happens to your people, please remember the prayers that they will do in this temple." So when crime and injustice happen, and they says, and he always goes, "If my people and if they repent, please hear their cry." For example, it says on chapter 6, verse 22, it says, "When a man wrongs his neighbor and requires to take an oath, and he comes and swears the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven the act." In other words, if I am being wrong, Lord, you know, give me the ability to go in front of you and please hear my case. You know, and then if you're going through a drought, same thing. If my people have sinned, if we sin against you, and then you send a drought because we sin, please hear our prayer. You know, and when there's a famine coming in, you know, and please hear our prayer. And if we humble ourselves, and there it goes again, humble ourselves, and says, and we ask for forgiveness, hear our prayer. You know, when we sin, it says, please hear our prayer, because we all sin. Have mercy on us. Hear our prayer. So he is dedicating that temple to the Lord. And then basically, now, this didn't happen overnight. Now, he made this. They had the celebration. And we don't know how long it took. Scholars say that it could have taken a year later until God answered that prayer. So that's why, you know, when we read that the Lord appeared to Solomon at night, and he started speaking to him. Basically, God started recapping everything that he said maybe a year before. So you see, he was setting up basically what he was doing. He was foreshadowing Jesus, the true temple. Okay, so here it is. And it says here, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And there's something that comes with being humble. And I don't know if you guys and if the church has gone through or anybody here has gone through life where you literally hits you so hard that all you can do is just go in. And I remember I went through a stage in my life where I was literally, my life was becoming unglued, for lack of a better term. It was falling apart. And all I knew was one thing. See, I grew up in the church, so I knew, but God for me was always, can I be honest, it was like maybe plan C. Not plan A, plan C. And I grew up and everything's wonderful. And I was grew up and then in the middle of now I'm grown, I got a family, my kids are small, and we go through a crisis. I mean, a crisis. I mean, and then I start seeing my family just becoming unglued, the whole thing unglued. And all I remember is one thing. It says, man, I remember this verse. And I literally, and I'm in front of the Lord. I went in, and our house had a big closet. It was one of those walk-in closets there. And I literally went inside our closet, and I spent days inside there. I'm talking at night. All I did was I just cried to the Lord. I says, Lord, I need your help. I literally humbled myself, and I just threw myself there in front of the Lord. And now looking back, I see that God got me out of that. So, and I'm saying all this because the worst thing that we can do is, I'm going to Judges chapter 2, and I'm going to read this, and then this is where I'm going to, do we have that? Did I give you that? Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. There we go. And this is important here. And it says here that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they bury him in the land of his inheritance. Can I go to the next verse, please? And it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord know what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. That's, we can never, ever, ever allow that to happen in our lives. Where it is said that we're one generation away of losing our heritage. One generation away. Here we are, the great Joshua, and everything that happened, and then he died, and it says that a new generation came in that didn't have any idea whatsoever that what God did. Well, one generation away. Can we go into Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, please? It says, we have the temple. That's where the glory of God was manifested. But then after a while, it just got, people were sinning left and right. People were sinning. And I'm going to use a word that is very strong, but it's in the Bible. It says that God's people started prostituting themselves. It's in there. Prostituting themselves. And basically, and then they're just sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And God says, enough. But now we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. And here it is. And I'm going to start entering what God has just really, really gave me. I was just trying to put the basics. But it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to emphasize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. Has been tempted in every way. For some reason, we think it's a sin to be tempted. We think it's a sin. Hey, guys, folks, church, man, I'd rather confess my temptation than having to confess my sin. You know? And for some reason, we just analyze temptation with something sexual. Oh, no. It could be anything. It could be greed. It could be power. It could be somebody just got an offer, a job that you're going to make lots of money. But maybe that lots of money and that, you know, will deviate you from your family. See, one of the things that happened to me, I committed adultery with my job. Oh, I committed adultery with my job. I put my job first before anything, before my family, and it started coming unglued. Oh, that was a temptation, you know, and it almost destroyed my marriage. I was never home. See? You know, I'd rather confess my temptation than having to confess my sin. It says here, but we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. You know, you were saying, then sometimes we cannot do that because we are ashamed. We got beautiful, put by John, it says, we're full of wine, you know, we're covered by wine, which is literally, we're just dirty, and we just can't go in, but we got a better covenant. We don't have to go to the temple. We don't have to go, that's gone. We don't have to go and find ourselves a little goat or a sheep or whatever, and hey, can we do this, you know, once a year, you know. No, we can go straight to the holiest of holiest. Straight to the power of God. You know why? This is the only way that we can keep it fresh. The only way that we're going to be able to succeed in this time, in this season of life, whatever season of life you are, whether you're a student, where you're just got married, you know, whatever season of life, maybe you're just empty nesters, you know, whatever season of life, we're going to be able to survive. Maybe you're a Romeo. You guys know what a Romeos are? You do. Hey, go to McDonald's or any of those fast food places any day of the week at 6 a.m. You see them there. Real old men eating out. You see them there. Romeos. Yeah. You don't even have to buy a newspaper. They got a whole bunch of them right there. I dare you. Go to McDonald's. I mean, I think they got keys to open up the place. I don't care where you are. Romeos. But I'm saying is, so they're there, you know. And it says, but he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, you know, so that we may receive mercy, not justice, mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, that replaces 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because when we do that, when we come into the Lord, I mean, and we humble ourselves, because when you're in God's presence, you got nothing else. You got to humble yourself. Like today, I mean, God's presence was here this morning. You know, wow. And it's so we go in, and then now we can do life. We can keep it fresh. You know, I can go in and go to my kitchen and, you know, go to the pantry. There's a bunch of cans, and I can eat. It's food. But is it fresh? Open cans and eat it there. Man, there's something about the freshness. And where we live today now, in our time, we have to be able to be fresh. Keep it fresh. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. There's a word that was used today. Linda used it, and we some of it. Linda is complacent. I call it the fat cat syndrome. You know what the fat cat syndrome is? Is when we just, you know, we gotten there. Can we put those four questions there? I'm gonna do some. The four questions that I put in, that I gave you. You know, what promises has the Lord made to you? What promises? Just keep that. It's just an open question. What promises does the Lord has made to you? What's the next one, please? What do we do when we have reached our promised land? Because what is our promise? Sometimes, you know, we've gotten fat because God has given us what we, hey, man, you know what? I'm doing okay, you know. I'm doing okay. It's called the fat cat syndrome. I'm doing okay, you know. I'm good, you know. Are we keeping it fresh? Because when we get that, we have to be careful. That's what happened to people of Israel. They got fat, and they forgot. Can I have the other one, please? It's for them. There we go. We cannot forget where the Lord has brought us from. Man, I remember when I was down in the pit. You know, I was down there in the pit. I was down there. Like God just got in. It's like, man, put me on the rock. You know, and I was down there in the pit. I cannot forget that. You know, and that's why keeping it fresh. Never, ever let us forget that. Can I have the other one, please? Celebrate milestones. The other day, I was just sharing with Chris. The other day, I was cleaning my basement. I found a journal. I like to journal. And from 2004. It's 2004. And then I wrote in, and then I had December 2004, and then I wrote these words. I says these things, you know, I wrote three goals, three items, three bucket lists that I would like to do, accomplish in 2005. And I listed, and they were personal things, you know, but they were like kind of like, wow, I mean, I'm not, you know, and I wrote them down, but they were pretty aggressive stuff. And I found that, you know, about a month and a half ago, and I took a picture and I sent that to my wife, because a lot of them had to do with self-improvement, things that I wanted to do together. And can you believe that God fulfilled all seven of them? All of them. But it took from 2005 to now. See, it takes time. It takes time, and God did it. God is faithful. Celebrate milestones. And you know, and I want to go back to that original question that I asked. This is that, in what season of life, you know, I find myself, you know, and I want to talk to the students. There's students here. Hey, pick your friends. You know, you can't pick your family, but you can choose your friends, and be careful who you call friends. You know, have acquaintances, people that you know, so you can talk to them about the Lord, so you can shine your testimony on them. But be careful who you call friends. You know, if you're a college student, I think they all left here. Maybe. Can I give you a word of encouragement? It's okay to be broke. You know, in fact, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, you're probably taking broke 101. You know, I failed broke 101, by the way. I had to take it again. It's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, and I want to encourage you. Just, it's okay. You know, I'm broke. Yeah, enjoy it, because it won't last long. You know, if you're in the group that, you know, you just got married, don't forget to date each other. You know, we got married, and then we become complacent. You know, like, I got her, she's mine already, you know, and then we get fat. Literally, you know, no. Hey, don't forget to keep dating. Don't ever go to bed without kissing her goodnight, and vice versa. You know, keep it fresh. Keep it fresh. You're raising a family, and you're beginning. You have little ones. Can I encourage you? Never. The best thing that we can do for our kids is pray for them. Pray for them. And we pray, you know, and I pray, you know, Lord, give me godly children. Give me godly. And we pray. And that's a great prayer. But can we change that? And Lord told me, you know, you need to change that. Even though it's a great prayer, it's a, Lord, we want godly sons and godly daughters. Nothing wrong with that. But can we change the Lord? Can we make sure that our kids have godly parents instead? Godly grandparents? You see? See, that way we'll show, we are guaranteeing that they are going to know what God has done in our lives, the milestones that we have gone and walked with the Lord, so they can tell their children and their children. See, that's how keeping it fresh is, you know. Maybe you're an empty nester. Can I suggest the double R? Double R? Romance the romance? Yeah.
The kids are gone. Romance the romance, you know. And then they get a group together, meet with couples. You know, this church is amazing on that. But don't just stay home and become complacent. Don't let that fat cat syndrome hit you. No, you know, romance the romance. You know, you're empty nester. If you're in your golden years, you know, we got to build a bullpen. We lost Mike. You know, but we need to build a bullpen. So when they graduate and people graduate and they go to heaven, we have a bullpen. We need them. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And right. So just be active, keeping it fresh. And then if you're Romeo, hey, share, you know, there's a lot that Romeos have to share. I mean, have you heard the stories they have? Amazing. Most of these Romeos, they got like, oh yeah, I used to do this. I used to be, you know, there's some amazing stories, stuff they did, you know. I'm going to start closing. So if I can have Andy help me out and yeah. But you know that during World War II, more pilots were lost on their way back from the mission than going to the mission or while they were, you know, creating, or, you know, helping and actually doing their mission. You know why? Because they got careless and they got complacent. It says, oh, we delivered, we did it, and we'll go. And then they stopped and they got careless. And then the enemy came in and they shot him down. You know, we cannot just stay complacent. We got to keep it fresh. And if for some reason we feel like, you know, Lord, I'm not there yet, or I'm missing the mark. We got a covenant, a great covenant. We have the great priest that can go straight, that we can go in straight to the holiest of holies, not no more, and say, Lord, hear me. And we repent. We change our ways. I want to close with this story that I read years ago, and it touched my life. And I want to hear back in the 90s, the fish that was in style, I guess, the fish. Here we go with food again. It was cod, yeah, COD, cod. It was in style, and they would. You know, cod goes up from the East Coast, and they were shipping it all the way down to the West Coast. And they would just fish it, and then they would freeze it, and then you send it over almost immediately. Well, they were getting that fish, and then the cooks and the chefs and what's that, it wasn't fresh. It's like, it doesn't taste good. I mean, but wait a minute, it just came in, and it wasn't fresh. So they decided to say, you know what? You know, what we're going to do is we're going to take that fish and then we're going to put it on these big drums of water here. And then we'll throw them in there, and then we're going to send them in by rail. And when it gets there, then they can literally, it will be fresh. And by the way, in today's, nobody eats cod anymore. Not as they used to. Now it's salmon. That's the style. Oh, salmon. You know, but back then it was cod. So they would get this fish there, and then they would, I guess, kill it and then cook it. And still was not fresh. It's like, but we don't get this. Why? And then they realized and they found out that a natural predator of cod is catfish. So they would take these drums and then they would throw in a few catfish in there. And then they would literally just start chasing. And whenever they got there to the destination, the thing was fresh. Guys, I gotta be honest. I mean, there's a few catfish in my life that is keeping me fresh. No, I got it. You know, I wonder if there's anyone here that you say, man, you see, JC, you don't get it, man. It's hard for me. I know. That's why we can go in to the holiest of holies and say, Lord, can you take this from me? I mean, so Paul, the great Paul, he said, I pray three times. He had a thorn in the flesh. Three times. He says, Lord, take it away.
My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Catfish. How do we keep it fresh? I just want to tell you that, you know, just realize that all that Solomon stated, it was just foreshadowing the greatest and greatest miracle, was that God, the Father, allowed his Son to come down, dwell with us. It's one of the things he said, how can God dwell in a temple, we, you know, and dwell with us here and die for us, so we can have this privilege of going in and says, Lord, I need to be refreshed. I have sinned. And humble yourself. Go in front of it. It's the beauty of all the beauties. And go in and say, Lord, I need you. And it's okay. If you got things chasing you, it's for a reason. It's to keep you fresh. You know, God bless you, folks. God, and love your church. Just wanted to, if anybody needs prayer, you know, can we have the prayer team, please? I feel like saying this again. There's folks who are fighting a battle that you cannot win on your own. I mean, you cannot win. I grew up in South Florida. And I remember that Florida is known for palmetto bugs, for roaches, whatever. I don't care, you can fumigate all that. Those things are, you know, they don't die, you know. And then I remember being a kid, you know, we go to summer camp and what it's not here in the Central Florida. And then I get thirsty and I want to get a glass of water. And then so I would walk in and with this camp that we were going in, and I would get up and go to the kitchen at night, and I would turn the lights on. And then I see all the cockroaches just moving in, exposed to the light. Sometimes the only way that we can do that, I know it's kind of an analogy, but sometimes the only way that we can expose, if you're fighting a temptation, hey, just, and again, it doesn't have to be a sexual. Why is it that we always analyze it as sexual? It could be anything else. It could be anything, but it's trying to steal. Maybe you're dating somebody and you're unequally yoked. Maybe that person, you know, it's like, boy, it's just, it feels good and whatever and all that. But it's a temptation because it's unequally. It's not somebody who has the same beliefs as you do. Don't go there. Confess it. Go to somebody and say, hey, I'm fighting this. I'd rather confess my temptation than having to confess my sins. Please. God bless you, people. Thank you. Prayer is open and anybody can open. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.